Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday.
In the very southern climes of the great world we live in, a good afternoon daily to the radio show you've stumbled upon, which is a team of voices, the poetry group on allpoetry.com. And we are here on Blog Talk Radio, and we have a show every week where we sit and ruminate and talk about poetry and other things besides. And the topic this week is none other than Honeycomb. And it seems vaguely appropriate that we should be talking about Honeycomb when we had the lovely Shouting Shy singing and playing the guitar and using the lyrics of my co-host, Mr. J. Hatter. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
I just fine, AP. Yeah, nice little gig. Yeah. Honeycomb.
Excellent. So Hatter there is my co-host. I'm AP Taylor, and then we have the person who runs the show and basically keeps us all in line, and that's Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm trying to fine. I am. I'm. As I said, it's a reasonably cool, just Sunday afternoon here, and for some reason, all my charging cables have decided to play up at the same time, and so I'm sitting here looking at the studio with about 3% charge in it, and hoping that it continues to go the right way. It did start at 1% at 15 minutes to go, and so we're into the show, and it's now 3%. So it's going the right way, Deb, which is good. Very slowly.
Good.
Anyway, so that's the most important thing. But I'll get quite excited if it gets to 4 or 5% and we have some spare, because my backup machine's at 2%. So that wasn't very well and cleverly managed, was it, really? So the main one's on 3 and the backup's on 2. I'm sure the backup's meant to be better than that. Anyway, here we are, and we are talking about the wonderful world of honeycomb patter, and we have a collaboration piece that we'll talk about a little bit later on. But how did you find writing about the wonderful world of honeycomb?
I took it off sort of a tangent. Yeah, I didn't have any problem. It seemed to fit. I better take a look at it, make sure.
Well, that's good news. I mean, I didn't think it was too difficult, because it's a colour, you see, and at the end of the day it can be many things, but a colour is one of them. And I sort of thought, well, you know, that's a good sort of backstop sort of theme to have, because at the end of the day, you know, you can just hit it with the colour, if so be it, you know. And one of the things we've both had writing for Deb a lot is that you have to write with colour. And so I sort of thought, well, you know, that's not going to be too hard in the broader scheme of things. So we'll see. We'll see what we think. But yeah, no, we've got a few folk who've given us some poems today. We've got Stephen, who normally will call in literally a minute or two, which is why I'm sort of stuttering here a little bit, waiting for him to appear. And then we have Hannah?
I checked mine. It's all good.
Oh, it's all good. So that's the most important thing, Hannah. As long as it's all good, we're okay. Move on.
Sometimes,
you know,
I forget.
It's good to have one in the bank. And so we've got the collaboration, so we'll do that probably when Stephen's here as well. And then we've got, what else have we got? We have got
that's very true.
We've got to work out what we're going to do next. Sorry?
Did you have bees on the farm, your grandpa's farm?
Now, good question, Hatter. And the short answer is no, we did not. There were a lot of bees around us in different sizes, shapes, and forms. And lots of people did have bees. It was a good area for bees. Lots of people did have bees, but never on our farm. So there you go.
Yeah, we had sage bees, I guess they called it, or sage honey. It was great.
Sage honey. And is that...
hold
on.
That's what they call it.
Hatter, could you talk about sage honey for one tick? I'm just going to see who this person is. Just one tick.
Probably raconteur.
Okay, hold on. Hello. I was just checking it was you, and then you confirmed it was you before I could check it was you.
Yes. I like how that works.
Yeah. There's something sort of cyclical about that whole thinking, isn't there, really?
Symmetry to it. Absolutely.
There is. It's like all the ones coming in. There's a symmetry to that as well, you know. So... you know, 9 times out of 10, it's you, but you never know. We've had all sorts of people call into the show, and some of them have been great, and some of them have been less than great.
It's generous of you to refer to me as people, so thank you.
That's okay. It's a pleasure. I'll call you a poet if you're not careful.
Oh, no.
I know. And that's quite troubling, because... I was talking to somebody about the whole idea of poets the other day, and the fact that poets don't have a great reputation, right? And I do call myself a poet, but they don't have a great reputation. They're the sort of person that sits at the end of the bar trying to boff drinks off everybody because they don't have any money. You know, that's your typical sort of image of a poet in my head.
Well,
and the sort
well,
of
you
strange
know,
thing
about it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, Brett, yes. No, Hatter, yes.
Well, it's like the beginning of this. It's like the beginning of the song "Atlantis" from Donovan, when he's gathering up the to expand the world, to explore the scientist, the mathematician, the poet.
Yes.
He's always named.
Yes.
So there was a
yes.
status to it.
Yes. Well, it sort of says a certain something, and it was interesting. Because I'm sort of getting ready to get myself, you know, into a publishing frame of mind here, Brack. And I sort of said to my kids, you know, it's going to be really exciting for me because, you know, I'm going to be distributing my art and people are going to be reading my poems and it's going to be really interesting mm-hmm. and all this stuff. But I don't expect to be selling very many books or making a great deal of money. And I said it's just basically an artistic endeavor, yeah. And they sort of said, well, that's sort of interesting, Dad, because you don't ever do something just because it's going to be. So why are you doing it? And I said, well, you know, at the end of the day, there is money in it. And they said, what do you mean? You just said that you're not going to sell any poetry books. And I said, yeah. But I pay a whack of tax, and I'm going to have to support this thing by going out and traveling and spending a whole heap of money to do things together and do things, and so it's going to be a tax deduction, and I'll make the money out of the tax.
Oh, yeah.
And they looked at me and they said, aha, now we get it. We completely understand what you're doing. We're paying for that.
And they thought there was no rhyme or reason.
That's always right. You've just got to find it, you know? You've just got to find it. So, you know, as I said, this is the tax-deductible poet here. one has different ways and means of doing things, but that's sort of my way and my mean. And they completely thought that was consistent with me, which I thought was nice, you know. Nice to
do what everybody else
sort of
does.
Sort of.
Just do what everybody else does. They publish, I don't know, 5,000 books or whatever, and then they buy them all up, get on the New York best-selling list.
Oh.
Oh, it's going to be me, Hannah.
That's just 5,000 Christmas
toys. Yeah, well, I reckon I've got 50. Yeah, that's probably enough to put me on my best-selling poetry list in Australia for Christmas.
But what's the
award?
Yeah,
they can take them on a book tour and sell them and check out the site.
If I bought them all and then had them on consignment, so to speak, I could sell a whole heap. But, you know, we'll just, you know, who knows? I guess it works for people with cars and washing machines. Melee do it that way, with washing machines and dishwashers. And, you know,
and
toasters. Some of the car companies do it that way. And, well, yes, absolutely. So, anyways, I haven't really, you know, designed the book to go on top of the bestseller list. But, anyway, we'll work it out. So, Rack, you very kindly wrote a poem for us, which is great. I thank you with all of my heart for actually doing that, because that's a wonderful thing.
It sort of fell out of my face.
Well, that's okay. It doesn't have to. It doesn't matter how it got there. If it got there, it's
honey's tend to stick up.
Well, I said to Hatter, honeycomb was gonna tempt somebody, you know, and obviously it was you. So I have got your poem on the board, and you are going to lead us off tonight since you're with us. So this is your SoundCloud of your poem, which is up on the board. So here we go now.
It Starts With a Kiss by Raconteur. Whatever honey drips from my lips would taste infinitely sweeter if pressed into a kiss. So kiss me with abandon and hear the song my heartstrings play, that I might hold you tight and let the beat take our breath away. Eventually I will wake as the sun catches your angelic face and pull you tight into a possessive embrace. Look at you through eyes unwaveringly adoring, kiss you deeply, and bid you good morning. Spend the day at your side, immersed in laughter, fulfilling our dreams, enjoying our happily ever after. Until the sun fades into the night once again, and I might fall asleep with you still safe in my arms, wrapped tight in a blanket woven from our passion, snuggled deeply in each other's charms. End poem.
Well, isn't that cute? And it's just a straight out sort of, you know, we're gonna have some fun together passionately poem, right? There's nothing about we've had, you know, this passionate time and now we're painfully leaving and dissolving into tears on the side of the road. It's just a straight out down the road, you know, we're going to have fun time poem. I think that's really cool. Hatter, did you want to comment on Rack's poem?
Yeah, it's good to know the enjoying our happily ever after. Yeah, I remember. It was a nice, it's a warm fuzzy, man.
Warm fuzzy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
give you.
Give you that. What's warm and fuzzy.
I expected warm honey being dripped on.
No, I wasn't going there. I wasn't going there.
No, you didn't. At 13 plus, Heather, didn't go there.
Yeah.
Did you? What did you think of Rack's piece?
Yeah, I couldn't bring that one either because it's 13 plus. yeah, no, I agree though, Raconteur, that. It was really cool to hear the tender romance and the hint of sensuality versus the Hurt Locker. Not that those poems aren't fabulous, but they break the heart. And I liked some of the stuff in here, like Kiss with Abandon or The Drips from My Lips Would Taste Infinitely Sweeter If Pressed Into a Kiss. Where's that other... Look at you through the eyes unraveling, adoring, kiss you deeply and bid you a good morning. And I can't say the rest of that. Let me keep going. And then at the end, until the sun fades into the night once again, and I might fall asleep with you still safe in my arms, wrapped in a light blanket woven from our passion, snuggled deeply in each other's charms. Like I said, it was sweet and tender and romantic, and I don't feel like I want to cry, which is different. But seriously, no, it was an awesome share and a great read.
I think while we have been talking about Rack's poem, we have 440 on the line. Hello, 440.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Stephen.
It's Mom and Pop.
Yeah.
Good to see you,
Stephen.
Hi,
how are you this evening?
No, Kay had to go inside. I'm still out of here on the deck.
Stephen's on deck. Stephen's on deck.
Deck is good place to be. It's sort of reminds me of sort of the captain of the ship, Stephen, that you know, you're on the prowl, you know, going backwards and forwards, you know, on the deck.
Yeah, I need the wooden leg, though.
Oh, God, I hope not.
You know what?
God, I hope not. That must have hurt. Particularly in those days, getting the bloody leg off and then putting the wooden leg on. Gee, ouch.
You know why a pirate wore a patch, eye patch? And it's not because they had a bad eye. There was a real reason. No, that's true. It's so he could walk beneath deck, put the eye patch on the other one. His eye was already dilated to the dart. He could see instead of being half the eyes the best. Yeah, pirate, puffy shirt. No?
We did a pirate show.
You didn't believe me?
Anyway, now Stephen, your poem does not, I believe, have pirates in it, but it does have flowers, and I have put it up on the board.
Yeah, Honeycomb was the prompt. This is one that I wrote a little over a year ago. I think Hatter did a show about bees. I thought bees and honeycomb go together, so
yeah,
I figured I'd dust this
very close
and read it for you. And it's called Where Have All the Flowers Gone? The tangerine sun shines brightly in the cloudless, cerulean sky. Water vapor mass so opaque, it pastes to his body like a second skin. But he pays no mind. The work he does vitally critical for the world he lives in. So he strenuously flits from flower to delicate flower, stem to tottering stem, silken petal to petal. An occasional atmospheric breath ripples through the garden, altering his pike briefly. Life-giving pollen from stamen grabbing his hairs like a child on a piggyback ride towards the next open bloom, there to be dropped onto stigma or pistils as a seed, the fruit of his labors, begins. He does stop occasionally to look up at the beating sun, remove his hat to wipe the sweat from soaked brow, and set down his pollination brush, gazing on the flowering vines behind, yearning that watermelons may be sold this year, and wondering, where have all the bees gone? Mempo.
Yes. Well, it's amazing people sort of hand-pollinating flowers as we go already, Stephen. So thank you for that little image there. I remember that song. It's in my head.
No,
a
Beautiful Day. A Beautiful Day.
Was it?
Well, I think it is. If they did White Bird. White Bird in the...
Okay.
You know, I thought it was them that did the...
I thought it was had a, you know, where of all the young men gone? That one.
Yep.
Whoever that is.
I think it's Lulu.
Was it? Anyway. That was the one that I thought was. Hatter, did you want to say a word about Where Have the Flowers Gone?
Well, I was waiting for the description of what honey actually is. But he's
bee vomit?
That. Yeah, just bee spit. Petal to petal, the case of atmospheric breath. Yeah, it's another hallmark.
Yeah. No, I get that. Rat, did you want to say a few words about Stephen's face?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Hatter. I think he showed great restraint not mentioning the bee vomit because I almost can't help myself when it comes to that. And, honey, I love pointing that out to some people. It's bee vomit. they want to
there
say,
you
know, how sweet they are and everything. But as far as this poem goes, you know, it's a sobering look at, you know, a subject that's, you know, very serious. The pollination and the bees and whatnot. And even the science of it, you know, how it clings to their legs and whatnot, and the purpose of it. You know, a lot of people just, you know, you look at a bee and you see, you know, this thing that according to science shouldn't be able to fly, and there it goes from flower to flower, you know, and everything else. It's really fascinating stuff. So yeah, you chose a great topic, Stephen.
Thank you, Rick.
And we go to Deb. Deb, what did you think of Where Flowers Gone?
Well, for starters, I agreed that the first thing I heard was the song that you were just singing from the title. But I remember this one, Stephen, because it was so filled with great crayon colors right from the get-go. The tangerine sun shines brightly, and I see that it won a gold, and it's a 10. So like, that's awesome with the descriptions. Life-given pollen from stamen grabbing his hairs like a child on a piggyback ride towards the next open bloom. The visual there is really enchanted. And then a little bit further towards the end, remove his hat to wipe the sweat-soaked brow and set down his pollination brush, gazing on the flowering vines behind, yearning that watermelon may be sold this year, wondering where have all the bees gone? And there's a little bit of sadness that goes with that final question there. But a great share.
Thanks, Deb.
There we go. And it was the original of this, I think, was Peter, Paul, and Mary. Stephen, where have all the flowers gone? I think that was the original people who did it back in 1962. Everyone had a go at it.
Wasn't that song like the remember the when Mia Farrow played the blind girl, See No Evil?
May well have been, but I think Peter, Paul, and Mary had the original. But that's just me. I could be
Pete Seeger wrote it.
Wrong on the song. Well, there you go, because he did a version back in 1962 as well. But I think it was the Peter, Paul, and Mary one that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
So,
me too. Pete Seeger.
Anyway, now, Stephen, talking about things to come and things that weren't done in 1962. You, of course, have all of your stuff coming up on your Poetic Slice. Did you want to talk about what's coming up in the next few days?
Yeah, sure. Our next three shows, Monday, of course, is always the Mortuary of Shadows, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is the true crime edition of September, and we are looking at John Meehan, otherwise known as Dirty John. They did do a mini-series about him. It's available to watch on Netflix, and there's also a clip on YouTube, and we have quite a plethora of information on him in the topic folder as well to read up to inspire your dark muse.
Lovely.
See, the Poetic Inklings is Wednesday at 9, and we are looking at the movie/book Peyton Place. We have quotes from both the movie and the book to write to. Check that out, 9 p.m. Wednesday, and Friday is Sci Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we're looking at the movie Highlander. And we have quotes from that movie to check out as well.
Mel Gibson in blue. In Thunders to Scotland. Yes.
That was Braveheart. Highlander was
yes.
Highlander was
Sean Connery.
Connery.
Close,
but just different countries and 20 years different in age. I was close, Stephen. You know, I both wore kilts.
Christopher Lambert. Yes.
Christopher Lambert, yeah, he was the original.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, Clancy Brown, too. Can't forget Clancy Brown.
Duncan MacLeod is a Clan MacLeod.
Now, we've done that now. Deb, I was going to do the collaboration while Stephen is at least temporarily with us. So, Stephen, if you've got a few minutes, we will do the collaboration next. And love you to hang around. If you can't understand completely, I'm in your hands with the collaboration.
Okie dokie. Well, my fabulous title for their 10 that they scored for their collaboration is From the Spyglass on Top of the Stairway. And here we go. On the voyage of those that trip on their tongues, an acolyte in turquoise is perched upon the stair. green stained windows as Clover paints the doors, trying to retrieve tea with her telescope in there. Ghost mist crawling from room to room around the other people patterned sitting or standing near a rail that stands in the corner above the door while a dresser with a candlestick emits a light pail. Bongs from the clock that ticks, not talks, marks time represented by a tower, telemetry of ages, just seeking the peace behind all the holy words as tentacles surround the tomes, typed fallen pages. Viewed from 3D glasses on the 2D shelf, placed up onto a crimson wall, not one that's bare. The Kraken is free and you are not in the picture framed of monsters and a lady rare. Lured by paper that flies downwind and from smoke by flames, a war seeking passage of the seas. Green the wing, still broken at 20-4, but elegant are sails that are matched against a breeze. From her scrolls of cherry and Norwegian wood, and in a dirigible, in low flight, as a witch readies a spell. In the words, so old they sound alien, her telescope is silent, and the watcher will never tell. And both.
It rhymes.
Ha ha ha, I did.
So what tweaking did you have to do to make it fit?
Yeah.
I alternated AP's rhymes and threaded yours in between to make it cohesive. And
this is pretty
it
good.
Always helps if one or both of you rhymes, but as long as at least one of you do, which you usually rhyme internally and AP rhymes in line, it just plays well together.
Wow. Because I didn't put the long, I didn't submit any of the longer lines.
They were the shortest lines you have ever submitted. Yes, I do. I do recognize or acknowledge that. But it worked. It was a great time to go with the shorter ones because they deepened the story that was already coming to play. It was cool.
Yeah.
And I liked it that, well, telescope that she's holding is called Spyglass. I think that's pretty cool.
Did we hit any redundant telescope?
Did you hear any? Because I rarely take away from anything that you guys write. I might change a tense. If you both home in on the same thing, like, for example, AP said an acolyte in turquoise perched upon the stair, and then Hatter, you said green stains windows. I thought that's not the one I was looking for. There's not, like, he was talking about the stairs, but then you talked about the windows, so they tied together. And in the second stanza, it was just really cool ghost mist crawling from room to room around other people patterned sitting or standing near. I mean, you guys do it. This is number 75, guys. 75 blind collabs.
Yep. Well, there you go.
I see what that stands in the corner above the door. You see that? That's where you should be able to find me. I'll be in the corner above the door. Drug my grand piano out there.
Go on, flick, 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 flick.
Yeah.
There you go. Stephen, did you want to say a few words about the collab before we let you disappear into the night?
Yeah, I like this. First off, I have to say that the prompt to me, a lot of people probably don't know this, but I used to be an extreme gamer, and this looks like the slide-scrolling classic game Castlevania to me, and also the words and the imagery in this piece could actually go to Castlevania as well, because it's a very dark game, you know, about
really?
Monsters and fires. So that's kind of what this totally took me, and it's an excellent ride. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah. I didn't know that. So, I didn't know that at all.
Cool comment.
Thank you. Rack, what did you think of this one?
I enjoyed the language very much. Spyglass is a term that, you know, is very underused, I guess, because I don't know how many people pull those out anymore. But, I mean, even, you know, they'll say telescope before they say spyglass. So, you know, it's a lovely term. And little I won't say subtleties, but just other words that you know, accolade jumped out at me because, again, that's another word that you don't hear too often. And telemetry, it's kind of a technical term, but, you know, even to see that pop up in a poem, it makes me smile because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, why have words if they're not going to be, you know, used? And when you fit them in something like a story like this, and it flows so you know, beautifully, and it came from two different places, it's really produces a beautiful outcome.
Thank you, Rack. Thank you.
And you know,
and Dave always
sorry, AP. But I thought it was really cool that he said that nobody really uses the word anymore, because both of you did use telescope in reference to her rather than spyglass. That's why I had to put it in the title, because it's such a cool word, cool thing. Anyway.
It puts together scary good.
Nice, isn't it?
I want to say part of the bent to want to use that word spyglass for me would be because there's that movie production, one of the movie things, like Spyglass Productions. So there's connection to it that kind of you can use it to tie into something that would be, you know, an incentive to use it one over the other. But I mean that they're both, you know, accurate, so it kind of doesn't matter which one you're using, but at the same time it feels different, you know, when you say spyglass instead of telescope. You know, it just has a different feel. It puts you in a different era in my brain.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's probably leap off.
Okay. Righto. Well, that actually came out really, really well, Deb. I'm glad that we got to use the sort of longer form rhyme, and it just sort of fitted really nicely. So well done.
Scary.
I agree. You guys switch up without even real, you know, never speaking. He's usually longer lines. This time you went longer without knowing he went. I mean, it's it drives me crazy, but it's really awesome. And it was, like I said, it was cool to have a place to put the word spyglass.
Yeah.
Compared to all the others, where would you piece it together? Was it more difficult or
this one felt a little more serious than I would have expected from the story was more serious. There was some spying going on, and there was a witch casting spells, and there was pretty cool imagery, and there was mist, and the mist could be ghosts, and it was just more, that's the best way I can put it, serious.
You know, it looks like there's
a
lot going on that picture. But it's not as busy as it looks.
Well, yeah, but there's so many things going on. That's what always blows me away. There could be 7 million things going on, and you two would still find enough things to tune in on. That's why I'm so anxious about the next one, because I can't wait to see which toys you are drawn to and stuff, you know.
Okay,
and don't talk about the toys. I'm just, I'm anxious to see where you go.
Okay.
Yep.
What toys?
Batteries not included.
No, exactly right. So now, Hatter, I'm going to get your poem up on the board next, but you do need to think about what is the title or what's the theme for next week. Have you been thinking about
think
that, Hatter?
Yeah, we were discussing it earlier before the show. I think cardboard.
Yeah? Cardboard.
Cardboard.
It is. Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Cardboard is
Yep, next week is cardboard, everybody. So Hatter and I were having a discussion about why that might be a good idea, and I'm very, very glad to go with cardboard. So that is the thing for next week for the Toms. Cardboard. Do your worst. Make it corrugated.
Yep. That's best thing since sliced bread.
So,
okay.
Yeah, like that. So, Hatter, I have your poem up on the board. Did you want to read it, or did you want me to read it for you?
Yeah, you can read it if you don't mind.
I'll read it.
But I would like,
no,
but I'd like to say
Hatter.
Something real quick. I'd like to say something real
Please.
Quick. When up on the farm, we were able to harvest sage honey, what they call it, and it looked just like that. That picture, and to get part of the poem was just, oh, man, it was very good. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, never had it before, so this is Home for Drones by Jay Hatter, and goes a little bit like this. It stacks in forms of waffled steps to mute the screams of men. The baffled walls will not fall, nor break will only bend. The bees can see hypocrisy when smoke alarms in haste. Homes for drones like catacombs, painted golden paste. NASA builds heated shields like ancient castle stones, clouds to be from honeybees, sticky honeycombs. End poem.
Sticky.
it's got a little bit of sort of internal sort of rhyme going on to the point where you feel like you're going to stutter on the words, Hatter. It's sort of one of those. Well, you don't want to read it now.
You have the cadence raw.
Yeah.
It's okay. You did very good. Thank you.
It's sort of like a tongue twister. Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
It's like a tongue twister because it's got the internal rhyme and it's got the sort of double S going on.
Yeah, I think it's I think at the end of the first stanza, I wanted to get the break, not won't break on the only bend. That sort of, I think that was a little trippy thing. But
yeah,
I did a lot of throwing stuff out. I had, at least three other stanzas. And in there with the three.
No.
Yeah, we've done it.
No, it's cute. I like the tongue twister piece. Hatter, what did you think, Rack, of Hatter's piece?
This reminds me of a scientific fact that I thought was amazing. And the thing about bees, and there's a mathematical thing about them. The honeycomb is the shape is the most efficient shape to fill up a space as far as angles go. It leaves the least amount of waste.
And he
also brought up the structural aspect of it, how one side strengthens the other. So it's really fascinating things that you kind of take it for granted, and you can go your whole life without knowing it, but when you find it out, it just makes you want to know that much more about it. It's amazing, because when I heard that, I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. And then everyone tries to when you put circles next to each other, there's that wasted space in between, and people want to say, okay, but what about squares? But there's something about the angle that the honeycomb it utilizes more space when you put them together in a larger area. I think it is. It's just fascinating to me. Nobody gave a bee a slide rule or anything like that. Come up with, they could have did any shape and they wound up with that one. So that's kind of amazing to me. I love the piece. It's really cool. And you mentioned the structure, and you mentioned that shape of the honeycomb, which is the subject. My mind went straight to the stupid cereal you know, honeycombs big. Yeah. It's not small. But, you know, that's, you know, I'm childish like that. So you took
very funky. Very funky, Greg. I can just imagine the Pythagoras theorem to come up with, you know, how they managed to put that shape together now you talk about it. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Hatter's poem?
Yes, please. First, I want to say raconteur honeycombs don't taste the same anymore, sadly. Anyway, how do I really like the middle stanza? The bee can see hypocrisy when smoke alarms in haste. Homes for drones like catacombs painted golden paste. I don't know. I just love that middle one. I don't think I expected there to be hypocrisy in the middle of a honeycomb. But it was really cool.
Yeah, that's one word I was going to change. I think there's probably better.
I like it.
No, don't change it. It's nice.
What Rock was saying too. The honeycomb is a. I think they once they got into aluminum alloys, lighter metals, they were able to use the catacomb structure because on the end it's one of the more sturdy, structures in nature. Also, it's cushioned on one side and then it's extremely strong. But I think it was only after you got the lighter weight, the aluminum, you were able to use lighter weight to get just as much strength. But there's a lot of math to that, the honeycomb and the structural integrity, very much so. And you're right. The more you hear is like, well, I must have missed that in science class. So you will dig in. I do it all the time. I must know. Like, find out.
Hatter, I must have been asleep in that class when they're talking about bees, because I didn't know that. So that was all news to me. So there you go. Well done, Rack. Well done, Hatter. Okay. So we've now got mine, and it won't surprise you to learn, Hatter, that I had a bit of fun with rhyming. And so, because, you know, I just do that. Because that's what I do. I rhyme, and then I work out more ways to rhyme. This one, in terms of a rhyming pattern, I think is something technically like an A, B, C, B, C, B, D, B. And anyway, you see what I say.
When you do the form, whether it's a picture, poem, are you as far as the numbers? Do they take? Is that a pattern that they don't like? Is that taken against you as far as scoring with the?
With the rhyming, look, if you have a bit of monorhyme in there, it does make it harder, but they tend to look at the start of the line, not the end of the line in the numbering system, yeah? So if you're getting worried about auto-rank, you tend to go for the thing to worry about, the start, not the end. Anyway, see what you think. This is where I thought Rack would go with his poem, but he didn't, but I did. This is Honeycomb, and it goes a little bit like this. Rich in honeycomb-basted pores, a golden honey treat, always in like refractions, hearts do slow in deceit. Mind the words and actions, gooey the phases greet, offering out all those wares, as the answer is always neat. Honey troubled by airs, many the victims sweet, drowning within do unfold, yet unsure will miss a beat. The pitchers, the caramel gold, combs gather in the heat, and once you have tasted, brutal an end waits to meet. End poem.
I can't, I maybe smile, because can't picture you using the word gooey.
He just did.
It just seemed nothing wrong. Gooey. Actually, gooey. The phrase is deep. Yeah, it is gooey. Rock, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, AP has a lot of fun with it, like you said. It sounds like he did. Anyway, I don't know that I would. I mean, if he could use Craggy, I could see him using GUI. So, you know, I wouldn't see any limitations in his use of language. You know, he's got a broad vocabulary. So, and I know there's a better word that I could have used than vocabulary, which is a poor opportunity to his lexicon. He has a broad lexicon too. So. There's the word that I was fishing for. But anyway, I'm so far off topic now. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was very sweet.
Very sweet.
Thank you very much. And go eat.
Well, I think that your playful side came out for this one. I think that you lost Hatter as soon as you read the word gooey. He probably didn't hear the rest of the poem at all. I thought the rhyme scheme was really cool. Chris said, offering out all those wares as the answer is always neat. Honey troubled by heirs, many the victims sweet. And of course, now if Sweet was here, she would have said that this poem is about her, because Sweet is in there. So it was a very nice poem about my Sweet. Really cool.
There you go. Thank you. And for those of you following the rhyme pattern, I was actually taking the third line rhyme down to the first line rhyme of the next stanza, as well as having the monorhyme in lines 2 and 4. So, if you were carefully watching the third line of the last stanza, once you have tasted, ends up rhyming with the first line of the first stanza as basted. So it does go in a circle.
Yeah, God dang it, it does. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Showing, flipping off. That's good.
Yeah,
that is really good.
Neat rhyming.
Yeah.
A bit of monorhyming, a bit of non-monorhyming.
Well,
did you go
into it with knowing with it you know the same sound ending on the 2-4? Was that, or I mean, all the wise,
I did. I went in with the 2-4, but I didn't go in with the other rhyme. That sort of just, I looked at it and thought, maybe we can do something ascendance here.
So when you got to the fourth stanza, you said this would be cool, I'll rhyme it with the first.
Yep. That's exactly
right. Yep. See, now, that's a perfect example of what I find fascinating on different writers, how about piecing the puzzles together. It's because that's fascinating to just, this would be cool. I'll do it this way. And, showing off, my friend, showing off.
No, but it's kind of neat, you know. Well, if you're a rhymer, it's a rhyming person's poem, isn't it, really? So, you know, it's a rhyming person's poem. Anyway, so Deb and Rack and Hatter, we have sort of neatly got to the end of the sort of 1 hour of the show, and I am very glad to say that my iPad studio charge has finally hit 5% after starting at 2. So, you know, we have managed to get past the show without me running out of power in my iPad, which was always going to be a problem at the start. We have had a number of poets join us. Rack, you've been with us the whole time. Thank you very much. It's been great to have you with us. We've had Stephen with the collab stuff. We've had Deb. We've had Hatter. We've had me, all talking about the wonders of Honeycomb as well as doing the collaboration. And we, of course, have the wonderful subject that we will collaborate and corrugate and do cardboard next week.
plenty of
like how he slipped in corrugate.
Did you like corrugate? I love corrugate.
I did. I like
great
how you
word.
Slipped that in there.
Thank you very much. Well, and I'm sure that we can even conjugate to get to corrugate, and who knows where that's going to
sure
lead us. Scary, isn't it?
Watergate.
It's the rhymes. But, with all of that, I'm going to be saying thank you to everybody. Hatter, did you want to say thank you to anybody in particular or somebody? Somebody not?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to say hi to Penny Lane. I haven't said hi, contacted her. If she listened to some of the shows, I know she does some of them. And even shout even shy, shout even shy. Got to get you on when you're done with school. Come on the show. And the rest of you, it's always a great way to spend my Saturday night. Thanks, Rax. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, thank you.
Do you go? Thank you. Thank you, Rax. Thank you, Deb. Thank you, Hatto. We are back for Cardboard next week. I'm not sure what piece that actually floats us towards, Hatter, but I'm madly looking at the board to see if I can come up with something.
One thing. Did you notice me and
yes.
you are matched together for this week's game?
I hadn't talked about fantasy football, Hatter. No, I hadn't talked about fantasy football. But we are, yes. So we'll just have to see how it all goes. I mean, fantasy football is one of those things that I am learning, it's fair to say.
You drafted well. I looked at your team. You drafted very well.
I was lucky.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I read there's thousands of people who do fantasy football for a living in the United States. I couldn't believe it. Thousands, millions of people play it. And I read one article before the draft. One article.
You're probably smarter that you did, because it's so conflicting between these bloggers that they pay to analyze. These guys are serious encyclopedias
of
sport.
They are. That's their job.
Absolutely.
That's their job. And so,
yes.
You know, I just, you know, I think I was better off just reading one article, because it just said, we'll do this. And I said, okay, fair enough. I'll do that.
See these secured compounds or residential areas where there's million-dollar homes, I mean, multi-million-dollar homes. So if you wonder, who in the hell well, that's what it is. It's those bloggers, believe it or not.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we will comment next week on how the game went, Hatter. I mean, it's too early to tell, of course, because almost all the games are on Monday and you have one person injured and the whole bloody thing falls apart. And so, you know, who knows? You know, so we'll discuss.
Yeah.
We'll discuss.
Deborah needs to check
his quarterback.
Okay.
We'll see. But I my quarterback is the weakness of my whole team, apparently, according to everybody who knows. So they say that I've done badly there. So we'll work it out. Anyway, I'm very keen, and it's got absolutely nothing to do with Honeycomb. Well, I guess it has a little bit. It's got to do with about honey. But I really like Coldplay doing this Elton John song, so I'm going to finish with that, Hatter.
Okay.
And it's got cellos and it's got a quartet and all that stuff. So I'm going to play that. We will catch you all next week, Cardboard. And until then, have a great week. And here's Coldplay.
Wise men say, looks like rain today,
crackled on the speakers, trickled down the sleepy subway train. Heavy eyes could hardly hold us, aching legs that often told us it's all worth it, but we are more in love. I played it. Something's happening, it's so strange, this feeling. Naive notions that were childish, simple tunes that try to hide it. When it comes, we all fall in love.
Shout out to all those folk who helped us tonight. Back next week with Cardboard with the host. So until then, have a great week.
Thank you. See you, Deb.
Okay. Bye, everybody.